Welcome to Marketers Talking Marketing.
Welcome to another episode of Marketers Talking. Today we're joined by Tom. Tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
So I am the founder of Interview Valet. I wrote a book called Podcast Guest Profits, How to Grow Your Business with a Targeted Interview Strategy. And I believe that we're not all one funnel away, but we're one conversation away. And instead of trying to break through the noise, maybe we should just get in on the conversation that people are listening to.
I love that, because we at Marketers Talking are so conversation focused too. So it's definitely very aligned. Now, I bet there's at least one person listening to this or watching on YouTube who is thinking about trying to get more involved in podcasts, being a podcast guest, and they're not quite sure if it's right for them or where to start. What would you say to someone who's on the fence about podcasting?
Well, first of all, I would say a lot of people say, should I be a podcast guest or a podcast host? I step back and say, well, what are your goals? Right? It's like it's the same platform, but think of Uber. Should you be an Uber driver or an Uber passenger? Depends what you're trying to get out of it. Right? So being a host is a great way to nurture your current leads, nurture your current customers. Being a guest is a great way to get new exposure, to get new leads, to get new backlinks. So I would start with that. And then also look at what your service, your product, what you are marketing. Is it something that is a relationship sale that needs a conversation, or is it just a transaction? Because from that standpoint, I think of my earbuds, right? I still use the old wired ones because they go through the wash about once a week for me. So if that's the case, I don't need to know, like, and trust the person that I buy those from. For me, that's just a commodity. It wouldn't benefit them to be on podcasts or have a podcast. But if you're selling a higher level service, a relationship sale, something with a bigger lifetime value, it's going to take some trust. It's going to take a conversation to move that sale along or even get them in the top of the funnel.
We're definitely seeing more B2B companies that might have a longer sales cycle, higher ticket item, as you're saying, turn to podcasting and almost launching their own sort of internal media company to help produce content. So that aligns perfectly with that. Yeah. Sorry.
It's interesting because AI, I think, has helped move that up. Now that all content is so easy to mass produce at scale, right? The search engines are thinking everything out there is AI created. People are thinking, oh, is this AI? But when it's a collaborative conversation where we're not all talking in complete sentences, talking over each other, people know that's real. They know that's authentic and it's cutting edge.
Yeah. When you have that human who's delivering the content versus it being, I think we've seen a rise in faceless channels recently, like faceless YouTube, faceless TikToks, mm-hmm. where it's just that AI voice with some random B-rolls. But you know, this you can't fake. Well, maybe they could, but this isn't fake.
and someday they will be able to. And I think that faceless, the random B-roll, that works for certain things. But you know, I'm not hiring a professional services, an accountant, a lawyer, a consultant. If I haven't heard them, if I haven't seen them, you know, I'm not going to go with a nameless, faceless that may be, you know, somebody just starting out, or, you know, somebody that says they're an expert, but they're in a third world country. And I need to have a conversation.
Yeah, you don't want to get burnt with having, especially if companies are smaller and in those growth stages, hiring the wrong consultant or freelancer or employee can really tank your growth trajectory. So yeah, that makes total sense. So people who are interested in expanding their network, podcast guesting can be a great avenue, hosting to nurture those leads and help really get your story out there, it sounds like.
Very much so. And even if it's consistent with your brand and your values, right? We had one company that had a product that was to help people collaborate at work, right? All the remote workers. It was a great idea, but they thought that social media was hurting people's productivity. So they weren't on social media. So they had to find something that was consistent with their brands and their values.
Gotcha. That's an interesting approach. Yeah. Do you have other case studies or examples you can share of people who found success with podcasting?
Very much so. We've been doing this now for 9 years, over 1,500 clients at Interview Valet. We've got 28 team members in Europe and North America. And so, you know, some of them are professional services. Some of them are alternative investments, right? Before I invest tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars with somebody, you want to know their heart, right? You want to be able to hear them, how they think, why they do it. And that's a great way to do it. We work with a lot of nonfiction authors, right? Because most of the time with a nonfiction author, you've got a different viewpoint, a different point of view on the world. And there's usually a business consulting or something that goes along with that. So it's a great way to do that. We also work with a lot of high-level coaches and consultants, right? I remember one consultant, I said, well, why do you want to do podcast, you know, guesting? And I loved his answer. He said, because I think most of social media is the equivalent of advertising above a urinal. And I looked and I said, okay, you got to explain that one to me.
Yeah.
And he's like, if my clients saw me above a urinal on a park bench, on a bus, or doing a TikTok dance, that's a reason not to hire me, right? And it started to make me think, it's like, huh, the higher level that we aspire to, you know, Ernst & Young, Bain Capital, high-level consultants that are doing, quote-unquote, big ticket sales, you don't see them doing dances on TikTok. So that's one. And then also a lot with category design. If anybody's familiar with that, Christopher Lockhead has been a longtime client, mentor to the company. And this idea of if you're starting a new category, if you're doing something different, not just better, well, you've got to be able to explain that out there. And that takes a extended conversation where people are paying attention. So all of those things work into podcast interview marketing.
Yeah. Category creation, I feel like, started to really boom last year. I heard more companies say that their goal is to create a category than I'd ever heard before. And it feels like podcasting would also be a good avenue to have that repeatable story where you're not just in one spot saying it, but you're in different areas depending on who your audience is listening to.
You're so right. I mean, content is king, but context is God, right? Small g. So if you're talking, you know, that you serve multiple, you know, ideal client profiles, right? Well, when you're on that podcast, you just talk about the one, right? So for example, we've worked with accountants or tax professionals, right? When they're on a dental podcast, they're talk just about how they work with dentists. When they're on e-commerce, they talk about this is just how we work with e-commerce. Or a new one that's really been helpful for us is we had an accountant that was trying to focus just on the cannabis market, right? So he was able to go on cannabis podcasts, and I was amazed at the problems they have, how the tax laws are much different. And so he was able to go in there and speak their language, you know, that content is king, but context is God. And he had so many people that were just like, finally, an accountant that understands that we are not like every other business. Yeah. And it was a great way to really get people in to that sales business development. And also, you don't get more leads, you get better leads, because after somebody listens to you for 30 or 45 minutes, they're self-selecting, right? They're turning you up or turning you off. And so that's really what makes this marketing channel very powerful.
Yeah. Now, podcasting has been around for quite a while. It feels like it's had a resurgence recently. Where do you see podcasting going in the next couple of years?
Well, I wonder if somebody's going to listen back on this interview and laugh every time we say podcasting, right? Because it's been around over 20 years now, and the pod refers to an iPod. And most people today, you know, don't remember what an iPod is. To them, it's, well, I can stream it. I can have it on my smartphone, my computer. I mean, YouTube right now is one of the biggest search engines for podcasts. 90% of all podcasts are video. So where I see it going is that it's more on-demand media. So we can create here the way that's easiest for us, right? A conversation. And then you can take that video and put it on YouTube and people will watch it there. Put it on just a RSS audio only feed. People will listen to it. You know, this getting picked up by Sirius XM. So if you hear it on radio, is that still a podcast? Or there was just a big lawsuit that podcasts have to have transcripts with them, right? So that the hearing impaired, you know, Americans with Disabilities Act.
Yeah.
And so it's like even hearing impaired people now, deaf people can consume your podcast. So I really think it's one of these mediums that is easy to create, easy to repurpose, and easy to consume when you want, where you want, and in the format you want. So I think that makes it very powerful.
I always feel weird saying podcast because we are video first. We upload video to Spotify, YouTube, everywhere. And in my head, podcast is still this audio only thing you listen to often in the car while driving. It doesn't have video. And I almost wish there was a different word for podcast that indicated that it was like a video containing thing versus being audio only.
I think we're going to probably start dropping the word podcast and calling it a show or independent media, something like that, right? You see some of the bigger people, Joe Rogan, largest English speaking podcast out there. He doesn't call it the Joe Rogan podcast. You know, it's the Joe Rogan Experience. And so if you're experiencing it on 30-second clips on Facebook as a reel, or if you're listening to the entire 3-hour podcast, yeah, it's the Joe Rogan Experience.
His shows are so long. I always thought it was interesting. And I called it a couple of years ago where a lot of podcasts, it feels like they're doing them just to produce content for social media. And then there was a little rise for a while, people doing fake podcasts where you'd sometimes see them without a microphone even plugged in, but they're trying to look like they're on a podcast. And so I do wonder how many people consume the entirety of ones like Joe Rogan, where it's 3+ hours sometimes. There's other ones that put super long formatted shows, if people are actually consuming that full episode, or if they're mainly consuming it in little bite-sized parts around social media and the internet.
Yeah, and it's the data says that 70% of podcasts are listened to the entire episode.
Wow.
So, but you don't know what is that? Does that mean, you know, if I listen to Wall Street Journal news briefing in the morning, that's a full listen, right? But is somebody really listening to all of Joe Rogan? I've got to say, I've never listened to an entire episode. But if you asked me, do you listen to the podcast? Oh, yeah. But I'm listening to the little snippets there.
Yeah. Or having it like on in the background while cleaning or doing something.
Yeah. The other style of podcast that's come up is called the Trojan podcast. And we're seeing a lot more of those. So if you ever get invited to a podcast of, we would love to have you on the show, do a little bit of research first, because what it is, it's a sales call. And often the pre-call is with the sales development rep. Then you get on, you know, a half hour interview. The first 10 minutes is, so tell us about your business. What's your biggest problem in here? And then the next 20 minutes is being sold. It's called a Trojan podcast, and let the buyer beware on those.
I ran into that once. I was at a company and one of the revenue leaders was like, we need to check out this new product. And I was like, where'd you even find? It's like, oh, they had me on their podcast. And I was like, okay, cool. But like, this doesn't fit. But they were like, no. But like, they had me on as a guest. It's helping my brand awareness. So we should really take a demo. It's like, well, hold on. So yeah. I have seen a couple of those, not a lot in the wild.
Yeah.
But I've seen a couple.
And it's interesting. If you go on to a demo, they might publish your episode. If you come to be a customer, they might actually promote it. But the vast majority of them, the only person that will ever hear that podcast is the host/sales rep.
Oh, no. What else? Oh my gosh. What else should people be aware of? What else don't I know about?
Well, one of the things in the marketing industry around podcasts and especially podcast guesting is this idea of more, more, more. And when somebody's telling you to do something, look at why, right? And the industry is largely paid per episode, right? So if you ask somebody that's producing podcasts, how often should I do it? They'll say, you should do it every day and pay me every day, right?
Yeah.
If you ask most booking agencies out there, you know, how many podcasts should I do? More, 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 right? And we've had people come to us, I can think of last summer, it was in June, and somebody came and said, I want to be on 100 podcasts in this month. And I'm like, why? Oh, because it'll be massive exposure. Well, so we'll be committing a heinous crime, right? Everybody will know your name, including your middle name, by the evening news, right? But that's not going to help your business. So we always tell our clients, more is not better. Better is better. You know, in the same way, you don't go out and advertise to everyone on Facebook. That'd be stupid, right? It'd be inefficient. So just don't go on every podcast, and you want to do more with your podcast from repurposing and really making it meaningful and powerful. Because at the end of the day, it's marketing, right? If it doesn't make dollars, it doesn't make sense. And while a lot of people may be talking about, well, I've done this many, you know, this, you know, at the end of the day, we get paid to make the cash register sing. So make sure that your time and your money is well spent.
Yeah. You know, Tom, this is kind of related, a little bit ancillary. There's actually an adult film star / OnlyFans star who said podcasting was their main growth revenue. Which you would think, like, it doesn't necessarily correlate, but she would go on all these podcasts that were not related to the industry at all. And on there, she would say things that were a bit outrageous, that would get attention and get clipped. And then she would incentivize her fans to actually do the clipping for her. And so if she saw people were taking her podcast episodes that she was on and clipping it, she'd reach out and be like, hey, have a month off or have a month free, or here's like a coupon code for it. And she was bringing in like $5 million a month, like something insane. And she said podcasting was her number one avenue to get that growth. And it was podcast guesting. Not hosting, just guesting around.
If you could find that, I would love to learn more about that. And at first I thought, how do you do adult content on a podcast or an audio-only podcast? And the more you started talking, it made me think of a client that we worked with early on. Vincent Pagliese wrote a great book called Freelance to Freedom. And Vincent is a professional photographer. And he's worked with NHL, NBA, all of these. He worked even with the World Wrestling. And so every time he would tell a story, he would just say, you know, come back to the website. I'll put the picture up there. You can go to this page and everything. So it forced them, right? If you want to see the picture that he was talking about, you go back to the website. Yeah. And then he was, you know, using retargeting and other things. And I'm thinking, yes, I guess for an adult content, if you tell a story and people are like, huh, I want to see that, or I want to see what this person looks like.
Yeah.
That could be an interesting lead gen. Talk about scarcity marketing, right?
Yeah.
You can't see. So if you want to see, you better go here and check out the website.
And it's all pay gated. I'll put, she was on, I can't remember the name of the show. I'll link it below. I'll send you a link to it. But she did an interview with someone on how she had made so much money in such a short period of time. And it was all just because she actually came from network marketing before that. And wow. So she did that for a little bit. And she was like, I realized that it was a pyramid scheme and I needed to get out. But she's like, I learned all these marketing tactics. And it's interesting because I think a lot of people don't always think about what's the next step. So if someone listens to you, or if someone, I saw a guy speak once and he said, hey, you don't need to take any notes at all. Everything you see on these slides are going to be tweeted out. Just follow me on Twitter. And then afterwards, go to this website and you're going to get the entire presentation plus additional notes plus more resources. And so everyone was like, okay, cool. I have a next step to make this actionable. So what's your next step? So many people, I think, will go on a show or go and speak, and they have no next step to guide someone to.
We call that, there's three steps: controlling the crowd, who you're talking to, and that's a lot of data, controlling the conversions, right? What do you do to take them from being a passive listener to an active visitor to an engaged lead? And we've done a lot of research around this. My last company was HubSpot's first e-commerce case study. And so we've done a lot of inbound marketing testing. And one of the things we found is that giving people three ways to say yes always converts best off of a podcast interview. So,
okay,
give them a small yes, right? It's just something to get them back to the website, right? It could be like the pictures we talked about, right? Or it could be a checklist, a personal assessment. Give them a medium yes, something that'll take them a little bit more time or a little bit more money. It could be case studies, a Tripwire product. It could be a book, something like that. And then the heck yes, if they hear you and you are answered a prayer, don't slow them down in a funnel, right? Whales don't click and big fish don't swim through funnels. Let them talk to the wizard. So at the end of the podcast, you always tell them the one place to go, three ways to say yes, small yes, medium yes, and the heck yes, and then remind them again where to go.
Now, this is key because as marketers, we have had it drilled in our heads repeatedly, only one CTA. Mm-hmm. One CTA, because you confuse, you know, the buyer if not, but you're saying three. So that and it makes sense. You have those different kind of catch points to grab someone depending on their propensity to engage with you.
Right. And you think about it, it makes sense because if you've only got somebody for a quick blog or a quick Facebook, whatever, give them one thing. Don't confuse mm-hmm. them. But if you're doing public speaking, right, somebody spent 30 or 45 minutes, don't give them a take it or leave it offer, right? Maybe I don't want your free guide. Maybe I just want to buy from you right now. Maybe I'd like to read the book, but I don't have time. Let me get this assessment. But the big thing is don't confuse them. Always send them to one place. And this, we've done a lot of testing here too. Text this number doesn't convert well. It doesn't. And we've tested it about every 18 months.
Yeah.
And it never really works. And I think it's partly because people are multitasking, right? So if you're telling me to text some random number or to something, I'm never going to remember that. I probably remember your website a whole lot better. But you always want to send them to one place because that's also the only way that we've been able to find where you can reliably attribute the traffic. Because you know if they hit this page, that's where they came from. And it's that evergreen page for evergreen content.
Yeah. So you're also building a dedicated page just for promoting on the podcast that you're on. So anyone who goes there, you know, would have heard it or seen it linked.
Mm-hmm. And we call it a welcome page, not a landing page or a squeeze page, because technically, right, a landing page or a squeeze page does not have navigation. You want to get them there and do something.
Yeah.
Whereas if you listen to me on the podcast and you come to that page and you want to look around my website, go for it, right? I want you consuming as much as possible. So it's more, we call it a welcome page. It's almost like a custom homepage for listeners of that podcast. Because think about it, we're recording this here in 2024. Somebody listens to this in 2029 and they come to my homepage, it's probably going to be different. And if they don't get what I talked about, it's a break of trust. It won't convert well. I've got a page that I always use as an example, and that's where it gets a lot of traffic. If you want to see what one looks like, just go to interviewvalet.com/EM. It's a podcast I did with Jamie Masters probably 8 years ago on Eventual Millionaire, and you'll see exactly how a welcome page looks like and how you do the three offers.
Awesome. And it's interesting you mentioned that time frame, because I don't know if you have any stats on it. I feel like you might, but I feel like podcast content is also timeless in many ways. I know that there are episodes I see on YouTube that are like 4 or 5 years old that are still relevant for a lot of topics that I'll go back and rewatch every once in a while.
I don't know if it's evergreen. I consider it like a can of soup. right? It's probably good for 3 to 5 years. I think audio content is a lot more evergreen than video content. Video gets dated quickly. And I don't know if you've noticed this. If you go in there, and it could be in some ways fashion, right? If the people look different, it looks dated. But even the quality of the video, right? The lighting, all the rest of that. And that's one of the reasons that we tell our clients, you don't want to just look acceptable today, because what is acceptable today is going to be laughable, you know, 5 years from now. And it's like, you know this, right? We're recording on a platform that gives the best audio and the best video, right? It's easier and cheaper just to use Zoom, but this gives better quality. Yeah. So it looks great today, and it won't look dated, you know, 2 years from now.
Yeah. 4K will still look good in 2 years, I hope. It's interesting you say that, because there's definitely, when you were talking about looking dated, my first thought was stream quality. And when you go and look at stuff that's a bit older, it's a little more grainy. And sometimes there's definitely like trends in podcast lighting and backdrops and settings that can also indicate it. But that quality, you can't, you know, you can always go and do a green screen and try and change background. You can't make a video high resolution when it wasn't recorded that way.
Yeah, even green screen. Remember at the beginning of COVID, when people were trying to do green screen, and it could be the best interview ever, but as their head goes in and out of the Golden Gate Bridge, nobody's going to listen to that, right? You don't look like an expert anymore.
Yeah, they just disappear to the abyss. And it's so distracting too. It's so distracting. It pulls you out of the experience of being in the moment. Yeah. I had an executive coach once who had, so my background's like pretty bland right now. I like Star Wars, so there's a lot of Star Wars stuff. But I had a very lively background, and he was like, this is horrible. No one's going to pay attention to you. It's too distracting. And really was very against having any background. He's like, just have plain white. And I did it for a little bit, and people, the first couple meetings were like, what happened to your personality? Where did it all go? You know, so there's definitely that balance of having something there and not a green screen that you disappear into, or just absolute nothing that, you know, I think now looks a little bit funky for people.
Yeah. And I don't think it should be too busy, right? That you still want them focusing on you, but you want your personality to come through, because the best marketing is a magnet, right? It attracts the right people. It repels the wrong people. So if they're not a Star Wars fan, right, and they're not going to get the jokes or the references when they work with you, they probably won't like that. But if they're like, oh, Jess thinks like me, right? Perfect. That works out great. And especially now that, you know, our biggest problem is obscurity, right? We've got so many clients out there, potential clients. You just want to get out and find the right ones, not just the ones that can drive to your office now.
Absolutely. Tom, you dropped so many great quotes in this episode too. So many great stats. So if people want to learn more about you, where do they go?
I was going to say, let's pull behind the curtain. Let's make a welcome page just at interviewvalet.com/marketers talking. And what you'll see there is a welcome page, and you can copy it. And it starts, you know, with welcoming you. You'll see Jess's artwork for the podcast and all that. And there's three ways on there that I can help you. The first one is a podcast interview marketing assessment, right? 10 questions. Will it work for me? I also wrote a book called Podcast Guest Profits, How to Grow Your Business with the Targeted Interview Strategy. You can buy it on Amazon, but if you go there, I'll mail you a free copy if you're in the US. If you're outside, I'll email it to you. And then finally, if you listen to this and you're like, huh, I'd like to talk to them and see how I could use this for my business or my clients, or if you just want to talk, I'll put my calendar scheduling link there. And all of that will be back at interviewvalet.com/marketers talking.
Awesome. Well, Tom, thank you so much for your time today. And we'll also have the links in the notes, and I'll link and I will send you the interview with the woman who uses podcasting to generate millions in her adult content thing. This is a very interesting case study. And we'll see everyone on the next episode.